If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open up to Matthew chapter 16. The title of my message this morning is called, What Shall It Profit a Man? It's going to be a very simple message. Everybody will be able to understand it. It's based on only two Bible verses. I can't remember the last time I gave a message that I only read two texts, and they were all in the same place. This is pretty rare for me. But the whole thing is just going to be in Matthew 16, verses 26 and 27. I would definitely encourage you throughout this next week to really try to memorize these two verses. They're very, very powerful. I believe this topic this morning is going to be very powerful, and I've been praying. A group of us were praying earlier today that the Lord would just really open all of our eyes to see what this is talking about. We're really talking about the big picture. The big picture. We're talking about this life, which is very short, and the next life, which is very long, extremely long, and about our priorities and our perceptions of what is most important in life. What shall it profit a man? That's the title. Let's just read these two verses and then we'll pray. Matthew 16, verses 26 and 27. I'm reading from my King James Bible. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus' own words. He said, quote, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear Father, dear God, thank you that we can be here and that we can hear your word. The word of Jesus Christ. And we pray that you'll bless. Please send the Holy Spirit here. And as this message is recorded and as it goes on our website, we pray that the Holy Spirit will use it, not just this morning, but around the world, that people will be impressed with the importance of putting Jesus first and looking at the big picture and making the right decisions in these last days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 26, Jesus said, "What is a man profited?" I looked up that word, profit, in Webster's dictionary. And this is what I found. Profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, the first definition was, it is a valuable return. That's what a profit is, a valuable return. Usually, the other definitions had to do with money. And when most people think of profit, they think of money. Some other definitions in the dictionary were gain. Profit equals gain. Or net income. That's profit. And Jesus here is talking about profit. Now when the world thinks about profit, generally, the world thinks about money. It thinks about possessions. It thinks about position and power. These are the things that people generally think will profit them. And the perception is that if I have enough money, if I've got enough possessions, if I have enough position or power, the perception is I'm going to be happy. Right? I'm going to have enough happiness. I'm going to feel that life is worth living. I'm going to have arrived. I'll be just, sailing high. And that's the whole direction that the world is going. The world is moving fast. And as this verse says, Jesus said, "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world?" See the word world there? The world is giving us, and it's all around us, everywhere. The world is giving us its perception of what it means to profit. What's most important in life? Big companies spend a lot of money paying advertisers to target you and to target me and the population in general so they can get people to do what they want, to think the way they think, so they'll go out and buy their product. And a lot of times these ads are targeted toward our emotions, toward our values, and they try to get people to think that if you buy this, you're going to be happy. If you look like this, you're going to be happy. If you wear this, you're going to be happy. It's all geared toward getting people to buy this or do this so that people can supposedly profit. And it's based upon the world's perception of what it means to profit. Position, power, possessions. If we've got enough of these things, we'll be happy. And we're being bombarded all the time by these messages, aren't we? All the time. Everywhere. Magazines, newspapers, the internet, television, billboards. I mean, even if you don't have a TV and you drive down the highway, you see all the signs, you know, bombarding you and telling you the things that you need, the things that are valuable. In this verse, in verse 26, Jesus Christ speaks like someone from a foreign land. Someone from another country. And he's issuing a wake-up call. This verse is a wake-up call, and it's very powerful. That even if it were possible, which it's not, to gain, to profit, not just from a few things in the world, but from the whole, to gain the whole world. Jesus said, even if you could gain the whole world, he said, if you lose your soul, Jesus said, and is telling us, this is not a good deal. Right? Not a good deal. Jesus is asking us to reason things out, to think soberly. And he's saying, look, let's just put things on the scale here. On the one side, you have the whole world, and on the other side, you have your soul. What's more important? Whole world, which is big, or your soul? What's more important? That's the question that Jesus is posing. That's the wake-up call. The sober voice that comes down from the sky, that comes from another land, from another world, from another country, talking about what is most valuable. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? Try to imagine for a second that you could do that. Imagine gaining the whole world. Imagine becoming extremely rich. Anybody here like to be rich? Let's say that you were rich. Not only rich, but you were so rich that you had more money than anybody else. Not only were you a millionaire or a billionaire, there are a few billionaires out there, aren't there? There's a lot of millionaires. There's a few billionaires. I don't know exactly what her net worth is, but I would say Oprah is probably in the billions. She is one of the wealthiest women in America. J.K. Rowling is extremely wealthy. She's gone beyond the millions. The author of the Harry Potter series, Bill Gates, is right up there at the top. Imagine you were above them. You were a trillionaire. Imagine being a trillionaire. All your monetary problems were solved. You could have any car you wanted. Any car you wanted. And if you didn't like it, you could get another one just like that. You could have a private jet. Fly anywhere you want. You could eat whatever restaurant you wanted at any time. You could eat the finest foods. The finest foods that have been created. You know, the top cuisine. You could wear the most expensive clothes that you wanted to wear, whatever you wanted to wear. Not only would you have one house, but you'd have many houses. You'd have a mansion, big mansion, bigger than Michael Jackson's Never Never Land. It would be so big, and you could have mansions in every country around the world. You could have 20, you could have 25, you could have 50. You could have mansions everywhere, and you'd never have to work a day in your life. You'd have it all. You'd have it all. Most people would think, wow, you know, you'd have it made, right? Made in the shade. You would have arrived. and you'd be happy. Well, that is, the way I just described it, that is the perception of the world. If you look at this verse, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world? That's the world's view. That's the world's way. That's the way the world thinks. But according to Jesus Christ, if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, even if you had all that that I just described, it is not a good deal. Not a good deal at all. Because this life is just a little tiny life. It doesn't last very long. Eternity is a long, long time. Perception is the way we think, the way we look, the way we look at life. The world's perception is that this life, right now, is more important than anything else. That's the way the world sees things. And it tells you what to do and how to be happy, etc., etc. That's the way the world thinks. And the world's perception of eternal life and of your soul and of heaven and of living forever is very, very small. It's very, very narrow. It's just, you know, it's really not that important at all. What's important is now. That you look good, that you feel good, and that you move good. Now. That's the way the world thinks. I want to tell you that this perception is an illusion. You know what the word illusion means? It's something that you imagine to be true, but it's just not true. It's not really the truth. In Hinduism, there is a Hindu god, and his name is Maya. I don't believe in Maya, but that's Hinduism. And Maya is the god of illusion. The god of illusion. And that's the way the world sees things. It's one big illusion. I don't know if any of you have been following this, but I want to illustrate illusion for you pretty practically. Maybe some of you are totally unaware of this, and maybe others of you are aware of this. I don't know. I'm not generally someone that reads the tabloids or a lot of, you know, I don't follow the celebrities, but we have a show, a radio show every Sunday morning called World News in the Bible, and I've been looking at the news and then we tie it in to the Bible. How many of you have been listening to our show in the mornings? Anybody? Well, good. Good. Good group of you. I was asked to give a talk at the Veterans on Memorial Day, just, you know, on the day. It was a couple Mondays ago. And I was very happy and excited. It was at the cemetery, the Templeton Cemetery, and I gave a talk, and there was probably about 100 people there, and there were quite a few of them that came up and said, "We are listening to World News in the Bible on Sunday mornings, and we like it." And I thought, praise the Lord, you know, somebody's out there listening to the show. Well, anyway, if you want to listen tomorrow morning, you can hear the show about Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes and Scientology. How many of you know who Tom Cruise is? Most of you do. And how about Katie Holmes? A few less. This is the front cover of, I think this is today's issue. July's issue of People Magazine. And on the front cover is Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. Now this is a couple. It says how Tom proposed. Tom Cruise is one of the highest paid actors in Hollywood. He starred in Mission Impossible and Top Gun, and he's got a new movie coming out this summer called War of the Worlds, and he's promoting his movie. And, I mean, this guy is rich. He's 42 years old, 4 years younger than me. He's got a warm, friendly smile. Girls all over the world like him. And he has decided to propose to another young girl named Katie Holmes. And Katie Holmes, she's in a movie coming out this summer called Batman Begins. And this is the stuff of tabloids. I mean, a lot of people are talking about this. And here's the front cover. Tom Cruise proposes at the Eiffel Tower to Katie Holmes. And at the bottom here, it has a number of bullets. And it says, details of a Scientology wedding. Now, I don't know how many of you have heard of Scientology, but Tom Cruise is a dedicated Scientologist. As I was growing up in the Hollywood Hills, I remember driving over the hill and going down onto Hollywood Boulevard, and right across the street, just a little bit away from the Hollywood Wax Museum, was this big building called Scientology. And I never really knew that much about Scientology, but I knew it was there. And as time went on, I knew that there were quite a few celebrities that were into Scientology. John Travolta was really big into Scientology. I don't know if he still is. There's others. And as I became aware of this, I realized that Scientology was being discussed in the news because Tom Cruise is a dedicated Scientologist. And the reports say that whenever he gets really interested in a young lady, he's been married twice, that he always asks the woman the question, are you interested or willing to study Scientology with me? And that's his serious question. And this has been reported in Reader's Digest. I read an article all about it. And Scientology is being discussed because this is what Tom Cruise believes in. In our radio show, we had a lady that called in and she asked questions about what if my friends are into Scientology, what do I tell them, and why do you think they're doing this anyway? And I think probably one reason is because Tom Cruise is really popular. People like Tom Cruise, and hey, it's his religion, so why not check it out? That's what people are doing. So we decided, Ivor was in Utah, and I did the program with Jeremy Woodruff, the producer at Life Talk. And we decided to do a show on Scientology. And so I began to do some research in what Scientology really is all about. And most people think of it as just a self-improvement course. You know, it's going to help you with your life. And Tom, as he grew up, I believe it was in New York, he grew up in a poor family. His father abandoned him. His mother really helped him out. And he grew up, you know, working hard. And slowly but surely, he has arisen now to the top, and now the guy's a super millionaire. And he credits a lot of this to Scientology. So I began to research Scientology and find out, what does Scientology really believe? And guess what I found out? Among other things, L. Ron Hubbard, who is the founder of Scientology, he lived from 1911, I believe, to 1986. He's dead now. He's written a number of books. His movement is practiced around the world, like 65 countries. And anyway, he taught, among other things, that if you go back trillions of years ago, all of us, we were beings called, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Thetans. The Thetans. We are all Thetans. And trillions of years ago, we existed, and we were basically like gods. We're little gods. And the Thetans, they were so powerful that they could create mental universes to play in. And they decided to create a number of universes, and the reason is because they got bored. The Thetans got bored, and they decided to create these mental universes and to play in these universes. And as time went on, they forgot that they were Thetans. And they died, and then they came back again, another life, reincarnation, over and over and over and over and over again. And if you go down trillions of years, you get to us today, and one of the reasons why we're so powerless and why we have so many problems is because we don't realize that we are really Thetans, we are really powerful gods, and we are living in the midst of this mental universe, which is really an illusion. And if we just awake to who we really are, that we're really the gods that created all this. And that sounds familiar, doesn't it? It goes back to the Garden of Eden. The same basic concept that we're gods. And if we would just wake up to realize who we are, that we're gods, we can rise above our circumstances and we can do just about anything we want. We can do anything that we want. And so, this perception is that really life is just a game. We're just operating in a mental universe that we created a long time ago that we forgot about, and now we need to realize it. And that's what Scientology is all about, helping you realize, and then you wake up, and then you realize you're God, and you can overcome all this. How come we haven't? Because we just haven't awoken up to it yet. Because not enough people are studying Scientology. So this is the religion of Tom Cruise that is being discussed in news media right now around the country and around the world. You know, I kind of feel sorry for Katie. I hope, you know, she says I'm excited about studying Scientology because that's what Tom's into, and I want to do what he's into. And Tom Cruise, I mean, as I read about him, he really does seem like a nice guy, and you know, you just have to take a step back and think about illusion. Is that an illusion? Are we all how did you say it again, Gina? Phaetons. Are we all phaetons that have been here for trillions of years, and the universe that we're seeing is just a mental projection of our own minds, and we just forgot that we made this? I mean, is that reality? Is that reality? Is that the truth? Or is that an illusion? That's an illusion. But you know what? Tom Cruise believes it. And there's a lot of other people that believe it. It's practiced and believed in 65 countries around the world. And to me, it's just another illustration, it's another practical lesson of how the world is caught up in illusion. Totally an illusion. Perceptions. Priorities. That's what I'm talking about. The big picture. How do we see things? What do we see as most important? What do we understand? Kristen and I and Seth have been traveling recently a little bit. We went to Utah, as I mentioned. I gave a series of talks there on Hour of the Witch. And Seth is a good little traveler. He's been on a few planes now. I think he's been on 3 different trips. And we get on the plane, and he sits there with us. And of course, he doesn't cost any money because he's still a little infant. And he gets excited about being in the plane. And we've been showing him, you know, look outside. And as the plane goes up higher and higher and higher, he's just looking outside. You can see clouds. You can see, you know, the plane goes up, and this is all just a big new world to him. You know? And as we go up, I mean, I can't help, maybe it's just the dad in me, I can't help but think, you know, this little kid, he's just so innocent, and he's just so having fun being in a plane, and he doesn't realize, he's clueless, that this plane can go up and it can come down in the wrong way, and that's it. You know? Do you ever think about that when you travel with your family? Do you pray for people in your family that, you know, fly? So every time we go on the plane, I just look at him and his little innocent face, and I just pray, Lord, please, you know, watch over us. I don't want Seth's life to end with a plane crash. He won't know what hit him. But then I think to myself, but you know, if that does happen, if this plane goes up and doesn't come down safely, next thing is eternity. Next thing is eternity. And I ask myself, you know, Lord, I need to be right with you. Am I right with you? And I think, yeah, I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you. And I pray for Kristen and I pray for Seth. And I realize that if that happens, you know, the sudden shift has taken place from this life to forever. Just like that. This life to forever. And Seth is basically clueless about all that. No concept. And that's the way the world is. Did you know that? The world is just as clueless as to the difference between illusion and truth. It is just as clueless. On the way down from San Francisco, coming back, we went from Salt Lake to San Francisco, and then we were coming down in San Luis Obispo, and we were sitting in the back of a little plane, and there was a family in front of us, and a little Japanese boy. He was probably, I think, 13 months. And Seth has just turned 11 months. And he was right in front. And Seth was looking at this little kid. And the little boy was looking at him. And Seth was fascinated by this little boy. And at one point, as the little boy was leaning over towards Seth, Seth looks over at him. And he often does this with me. He'll look at me and he'll go like this. He'll point his finger, you know, right at me. And I'll come over and I'll just kind of nibble on him a little bit. Just a little daddy-baby thing. And so Seth went to this little Japanese boy, and he held his finger up, and he went, and he put his finger in his mouth, and he was just kind of clueless, and all of a sudden, that boy bit down hard. Yeah, he bit my son. And Seth went, ah! He just screamed. You can see Kristen back there smiling. You remember that? Yeah, she remembers that. He screamed, and everything within me thought, you know, had to think, you know, have mercy upon this kid. You know, the mother looked back, and she said, what happened? And I said, he bit our boy. And she said, "I'm so sorry." She had said, "I'm so sorry." And we said, "It's okay. You know, he didn't know what he was doing, or that's all right." Yeah, learning curve. Well, Seth learned a little lesson there. Don't put your fingers in other people's mouths. That Seth only has one tooth, and that boy had quite a few teeth. And it definitely got him. And it taught him just a little lesson. I hope he learns it, you know, that sometimes we're just clueless about what's about to happen until, bam, teeth come down. You know? That's the way the whole world is. The whole world is totally clueless. When it comes to heaven and eternity, you know, I hope Tom Cruise makes it, but he has no clue. L. Ron Hubbard had no idea when he said we were all gods from 3 trillion years ago. This is all an illusion. The world is functioning in illusion. It's like the name of the Hindu god, Maya. It's all an illusion. The things that we think are important, generally speaking, aren't important. The things that we think are going to make us happy, you know, they're not. It's not all about gaining the whole world. That's not what it's all about. We can gain the whole world, and Jesus said we can lose our soul. And if we do that, not a good deal. Not a good deal. Wednesday, where's Bruce? I think it was Wednesday morning. Bruce called me, and he said, "Joe Benson just proposed on the radio." Was it Wednesday morning? Okay, anybody hear that? All right, a couple of hands. Joe Benson is the talk show host of KPRL, which is in Paso Robles, and I've been on with him a couple of times talking about different books, and he and I have developed a little friendship. And a number of months ago, off the air in the little radio room at the studio, at the station, Joe confided that he had met this woman that was just like the woman of his dreams, Valerie. And he's, you know, had bad experiences in the past, and he was just kind of gun-shy, but it was all happening to him, and he was like, you know, love had finally come to Joe. And he was getting really excited about this. And he was, I could see it in his face, and I said, "I pray for you," and he was excited about that, and I've kind of, you know, become like his pastor in a way. And so I knew that as the days wore on, that their relationship got more and more serious. And then Bruce called and said, "This is it. He proposed to Valerie on the radio." And I subsequently found out that she was actually there in the studio with him. They were there together, and I didn't know that at the time. And so I tried to call and just congratulate him and couldn't get through. So I sent him an email, and I said, "Congratulations, Joe. Did she say yes?" And he shot back the email, "Yes, she did. I'm so excited, you know." And so I thought, well, thank the Lord. You know, here he is, and I hope he's going to be happy, Joe Benson and Valerie. Well, that was Wednesday. Friday, Bruce calls me again with the latest on Joe Benson. Well, Joe is in the hospital. He said, "Joe's in the hospital." And he didn't really know exactly what was going on, and he just said, "You know, maybe you can go visit him." And I was there that morning. As soon as I heard, it didn't take me long to get down there. Walked in, there was two people already in there visiting with him at Twin Cities. He's laying on his back, his foot's bound up. And I visited a little bit with the two people, and then they left. And then Valerie comes in. And so now it's the three of us. And they look like a great couple, just even there with Joe on his back. And as we talk, then Joe explained to me what had happened. Well, unfortunately, he's had diabetes for about 10 years. And if you know a lot about diabetes, if you don't, you know, take care of yourself, you can really get into trouble, and you can lose a leg. Kristen and I, or a foot, were once in Oklahoma going through a health program, and there was one lady there that didn't have a foot because things had gotten away from her, and she lost her, I think it was from the knee down. And Joe, the circulation wasn't good, and I don't know all the details of everything that's been happening, but his right foot started getting black. And he wasn't, you know, up to going to the doctor. And so I don't know if it was Kevin Will or somebody. Kevin is now out of town. Kevin Will's the owner of the station. Somebody looked at that foot and said, Joe, you are going to the doctor right now, whether you like it or not. And as soon as the doctor saw his foot, the doctor said, this is very serious. You're going into the hospital. And when I saw him yesterday, Mark, you could probably swing by and say hi to him. When I saw him yesterday, he said, I'm going to be here for 4 days because I've got a real problem. And I talked to him about Wemar and about some of the resources that are available to help people with diabetes. And I'm going to continue to give him some of this information. But I thought about that. And I remember one thing that Joe said that hit me. He said, this is a wake-up call for me. This is a wake-up call for me. And I thought, here's a man that, you know, has just proposed to a woman, and he believes, and I hope he has, you know, he's found true love, and he's excited. He's gaining things, right? He's gaining all these things. But what shall it profit Joe Benson if he gains all this and then he dies just like that because of diabetes? What shall it profit him? Wake up call. Wake up call. Joe and I also talked about he wants to do another radio show with me. The last time I was there, he said, I want to do a show on the Day of Judgment. And this was his idea. He said, I want to do a show on what it's going to be like on the big day when the whole world is gathered, you know, before God. And I thought, okay, Joe, let's do it. So yesterday I talked to him about that, reminded him. He said, you really want to do that show with me? And I said, oh, definitely, definitely. And so we're looking, if it's sometime in August, we're going to do that and talk about the Day of Judgment. And I'm going to try to weave in, if we do that show together, hopefully, Lord willing, I'm going to weave in this text, and talk about the big wake-up call that God is trying to talk to the whole world, that this life is very short, and even if you gain the whole world and have all of this, if you lose your soul, it's not a good deal. You've made a big mistake. You've followed an illusion. Illusion. Big illusion. There's some quotes at the back of the back of your bulletin I want us to just briefly take a look at, and then I'll share a few more thoughts. Look at the back of your bulletin. There's some quotes there. The first one is from Matthew 16, the verses that we're reading. And then right below it is another quote, and it says here, Christ calls upon everyone to consider, to think about this. And this is what he does in this verse. Make an honest reckoning. Put into one scale Jesus, which means eternal treasure, life, truth, heaven, the joy of Christ in souls redeemed. Put into the other every attraction the world can offer. Just put them all over there. Everything you can get and find in this world. Into one scale, put the loss of your own soul and the souls of those whom you might have been instrumental in saving. Into the other, for yourself and for them, the life that measures with the life of God. Weigh for time and for eternity. While you are thus engaged, Christ speaks. And then it quotes that text. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? One more paragraph below that. It says, the crisis is stealing gradually upon us. And this is from Desire Pages. The crisis is stealing gradually upon us. It's getting closer and closer and closer, is it not? And how is it getting closer? It says, gradually. Just a slow, steady approach. The sun shines in the heavens, passing over its usual round. And the heavens still declare the glory of God. Men are still eating and drinking, planting and building, marrying and giving in marriage. Just like Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes are going to get married. They're going to have a Scientology wedding. Merchants are still buying and selling. Men are jostling one against another, contending for the highest place. Pleasure lovers are still crowding to the theaters, horse races, gambling hells. The highest excitement prevails, yet probation's hour is fast closing. And every case is about to be eternally decided. Priorities. Perception. And then the conclusion here says, Satan sees that his time is short. He has set all his agencies at work that men may be deceived, deluded, occupied, and entranced. Do you see that? I'd like you to repeat those four words with me. Deceived, deluded, occupied, and entranced. See that? That's what Satan's trying to do. Deceive, delude, occupy, and entrance the world until the day of probation shall be ended and the door of mercy shall be forever shut. Forever shut. Wow. I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older or whether I'm a dad. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just the Holy Spirit just getting deeper in my life, but I am becoming more and more and more acutely aware of the priority of my soul and the souls of those that I love more than getting the things of this world. And that this world is soon going to come to an end and the big transition is going to take place. And as I think about this, I must acknowledge that I worry about the people that I love. And we had a season of prayer this morning in my class. There was just a few of us there, and we decided not to study the lesson or study the Bible, but just to pray. So we prayed. Shar and Cliff and me, we all just prayed together. We prayed for our families. We prayed for those that we love. Prayed for our church. We prayed for you. I think about my mother in Palm Springs and Bill, whose his cancer, they didn't get it all when they took his bladder out. He still got it. He's going in for chemo soon, in the next few days. My mother with congestive heart failure, who doesn't know the Lord. My brother, who's in Indiana, he's a doctor. He doesn't know Jesus. I think about Seth, our little baby, and just keep praying for him, even though he hasn't grown up and he hasn't gotten into his teenage years yet. And I'm not going through what some of you are going through. You know, I'm still worried about him. I pray for my friends, for my church, for you. I'm concerned. I can't shake it. We prayed this morning. We got together again and prayed. Pray that God would use this sermon to open your eyes, to help you to realize that this world is an illusion. The things that people think are important aren't so important. If you get it all, but you lose your soul, it's not a good deal. You've lost everything. You've lost everything. What is a man profited, Jesus said, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In verse 27, this is my last text. Verse 27 shifts gears. And Jesus said, for the Son of Man shall come. The Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels. And then He shall reward every man according to his works. Wow. When this verse occurs, when Jesus Christ comes in the glory of His Father with all the angels, I tell you, reality is going to hit fast and hard. That will be the wake-up call, but it'll be too late to make any changes. Right? That'll be it. This life, which is very, very short, just like that, will shift into eternity. And eternity is a long, 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 long time. Got it? It's a lot longer than any of us have any idea. I mean, it's never going to end. It's never going to end. And what's it going to be like when Jesus Christ comes down with billions of angels, holy beings, descending from the skies? I tell you, things like being on the front cover of People magazine is not going to be as important to people as having their names in the book of life. That's the most important thing. Is your name in the book of life? You can have millions of dollars, big mansions. But if Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes lose their own souls, they've lost everything. They've lost everything. It's the same for all of us. Priorities. Perception. Jesus said, when he comes, he said, then he shall reward every man according to his works. See that? Every man will be rewarded according to his works. Now, we're not saved by our works, but we will be rewarded according to our works. What we're doing is going to be rewarded one way or the other. Good works will be rewarded, and bad works will be punished, will be rewarded. Well, as I wind this up, where's the gospel in all of this? Is the gospel in verse 27, 26 and 27? And now maybe it's just because I'm a father now, but it just seems like I keep seeing father-son relationships all over the place. And I see it there. Verse 27 says, the Son, Jesus is the Son of man. He comes in the glory of the Father. There's a Father and His own Son coming with all the angels. I want to tell you, when the Father and the Son looked at the world and looked at the little space of this life and looked at eternity, you know what? Their perception was accurate. And their priorities were right. And at some point back, I don't know how many years it was, I don't think it was trillions, but however long ago it was, the Father and the Son came together and they decided that if you make the wrong choice, if Adam makes the wrong choice, if Eve makes the wrong choice, if the world goes off into illusion and blindness and deception, they decided that their priority was going to be you, were their priority. And the Father decided He would send His Son. And Son decided He would go. He'd come down to this world. Be born into a risky place. Grow up in a risky world. Deal with the devil. Deal with temptation. Deal with all the things of the world. Deal with the devil taking him up onto a high mountain and saying, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give you everything. All the things of the world is yours if you'll worship me, says Satan. Jesus said, get out of here, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. I'm not interested. Not a good deal. Me. But Jesus told the devil. And he continued on and he wrestled in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he prayed, Father, if there's no other way, I'll do it. I'll give everything. I'll give my life. I'll give my life if that's what it takes to fulfill the priority of getting a hold of you and getting a hold of me and getting us out of this little tiny life that's going to be over in a heartbeat. You know, people say, they say, better cherish the days when you have Seth right now, because before you know it, you'll blink and he'll be out of the house married with kids. You know, people say that to us. Just like that. Well, you know what? That's the way it's going to be when heaven comes, when Jesus comes. It's just going to be like that. All of a sudden, reality is going to hit. And people are going to realize, have I made a good deal or a bad deal? Have I put God and my soul and what's right, what's best in front of the whole world? Or have I lost everything? That's it. That's what's going to happen. The good news is the Father sent the Son. Their perceptions were right. Their priority was right. And they want you. Love you. They love me. And they know. You know, the world thinks that if it gets all these things, it's going to be happy. It's going to feel good. You know what? That's an illusion. It's not true. The way to really feel good, to really be happy, forever and ever and ever, is to have God in your life. It's to have the Father and the Son and their love inside you and to be following the truth, the Bible, doing what's right. If you do that, you'll be happy. If you don't, you'll be gone before you know it. It'll all be over. So, in conclusion, I think you know the main point. Don't make any big mistakes. What will it profit you? Really? What kind of a real, valuable return are you going to get if you get everything but you lose your soul? Your soul is more important than this world, and the souls of your family and those that you love, more important than anything. So I appeal to you to take this sermon as a wake-up call, as a wake-up call, and to make sure your perceptions are right and your priorities are straight, and that Jesus Christ is number one for you, because I want to tell you, He's a good deal. He's the best deal. He's the best deal. And you won't be sorry. You won't be sorry if you put Him first. And if you think, well, I don't know if this is a good deal, realize that's an illusion. It's an illusion. Don't be duped by the devil's illusion. Put Jesus first and make the right choice. Let's close with these verses. Matthew 16, 26 and 27. And I'd recommend you memorize these verses during the next week. Verse 26, Jesus Christ says, "What is a man profited if he gains the whole world, but if he loses his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his." Let's pray. Father, oh Father, please, please help everyone here to break out of the illusion of this world and to realize what's most important. What's most important is the salvation of our souls and our relationship with you, and getting out of the perceptions of the world, the illusions of planet Earth, and following Jesus, the truth, so we can live forever with you, we can have happiness through you, we can have love, the love of the Father and the Son that can satisfy our deepest longings. God, please, you love us all. Grab a hold of us and help us to make the right choice before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.